I do appreciate the little bit nicer weather. Melissa had a, and I have, a, or have a friend, I had one, but used to call this the rain liquid sunshine. Put a nice little spin on it. We had plenty of sunshine the last couple of days. Whew. All right, so let me ask y'all a question. So why are you guys here this morning? I want you to, you know, have to answer me, but just think about that. I'm serious. Why did you get up this morning? Am I just like sort of rhetorical question? I mean, I want you to think for a moment. Today you got up and you made a decision to get dressed. If you're like in our house, you wrestled kids and grandkids, the whole house full of them, and you came out here now here you are, right? Or unless maybe you're watching online today, you can't make it here, but you turned us on and you're listening. Well, that's what we're going to look at today when we're focusing on what. Where Paul's leading us is, you know, you have to have a purpose. I talked about that early on when this whole COVID-19 thing started. I was given one of these devotionals. I talked about a purpose. And so that's what we're going to look at today is, like, what is your purpose for what we do as Christians? I mean, why are we doing what we do? And it's all this Paul has been talking about, having this new life in Christ. And then he leads into this, and he's going to talk about this purpose, and we're going to focus on our purpose. And that's why I hope you'll think about today where this is going. And this is this, again, this self-reflection about this purpose that we have as new, as Christians with this new life in Christ. So, with that being said, if you'll stand with me as we'll read God's Word. We're in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. We're going to go to the end of the chapter. It says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you for bringing us here today. I thank you for everyone who can hear this message this morning. Father, I pray that you will soften our hearts, but you will open our eyes, Lord, to see ourselves clearly as you do. Not that we're aiming for perfection, Father, but I pray that we'll have lives that in increasing measure bring glory to Christ. And Father, I pray that you help me to speak your words truthfully and in love. Help me to move out of the way and just simply speak for you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So when I was growing up, you guys know I've kind of referenced my childhood. It was great, a little farm town in Indiana. And if you guys have been to Indiana, there is plenty of corn. In case you're wondering, there's still plenty of corn there. Now, when I was younger, I think it's kind of changed a lot now. We're kind of showing the signs of the times. I mean, that's one thing you can see, all these different fields. You drive past a row of corn, and you just see these corn rows. I mean, these straight rows of corn, and there's a reason why they did all that. But, I mean, they've kind of changed a little bit now. That's a whole separate thing, kind of set of, if you guys are ever around farming, I'm showing my age. But there's a real skill involved for those farmers to be able to keep that row straight like that. You know, in a tractor, you know, you're just going all the way down this field, and it's really important that you keep the row straight. So I asked I worked on farms growing up, and so I asked one of these farmers I worked for years that had a son named Chad, and he has real good friends of mine. And I asked him one time, how do you keep the row straight like that? And he says, well, it's kind of simple. You just have to look on the other side of the field, and you try to mark a spot, and you just aim for that spot, right? So you have this purpose, that is to plant, you know, to plow or plant the field, but you also have to have a standard, right? Well, that's what we're going to have this morning, is this standard. That's what Paul gives us here, is this standard. As we have been talking about, this new life we have in Christ, Paul is summarizing, if you will, at the end of this chapter, how we sort of aim for that goal, we have, what this standard is going to be. What does this actually look like as we see he moves to sort of bring this thing even, I think, even more personal. But also, he gives us these examples that I think are very useful to us. So we've got a lot to cover. Again, I didn't want to break these up into separate sermons because I think it's important we look at the overall gist of what Paul is saying. So he gives us these things, these standards, if you will, these things to focus on, the first of which I think is that we focus on this life of worship. This life of worship. We see that in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Starts off right off the bat, it says, "Whatever you do." This kind of sets the standard for us, right? If you sit back and think about what he means by whatever you do, he means whatever you do. This standard is the Christian life is all-encompassing, right? It's every facet of your life involves your faith in Christ. If you're a Christian, it's all-encompassing. Now, here's the thing. You guys know that as Christians. It's not something new that you just now heard this morning. You know that being a Christian is this. It has to do with this fully committed life. So when you have this new life in Christ, it is a fully committed life in Christ. You are a new person, but you are fully committed. That's what Paul is making sure we get that, you know, get our beam set correctly as we move across this field, if you will. He's letting us know this is what I'm talking about. This is whatever you do. So everything we talk about this morning, I want to make sure you understand as and are with me. I'm talking about whole life change. So every point we talk about, everything we talk about, I'm not saying, hey, in this area of your life, fix this. No, I'm talking about your entire life, your whole life is committed in these way, in the way that Paul instructs us. So when he says whatever you do, he's talking about your whole life. And what does he say as he moves on? Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I actually was thinking about how do we understand this and sort of wrap our minds around this. And I brought this book with me. Max Lucado tells a story I think is a perfect illustration for this. And I brought it to keep referencing it. So it's not about me. I really highly recommend the book. I'm going to try to recreate this story. But if you don't get the book, you just keep hearing my sermons. You'll eventually hear everything he says in there because it's a great book. So he tells this story in there. He's on this flight. I want to recreate the best I can briefly. He's on this flight, and on this flight he meets this rabbi, and he has this conversation. The rabbi brings up about taking the Lord's name in vain. And so he tells this rabbi telling the story, and he says, don't think about language, think about action and lifestyle. He paints this picture of this lady. She's a tall skyscraper. Her dad's the CEO. He's all the way at the top. Nobody ever really sees him. But he does see his daughter. His daughter's down there among all the worker bees. And she goes around disrupting meetings. She's rude. She's demanding. She's like, you know, this really not a really nice person to be around, right? So without any, and she never invokes the name of her father. She never says, do this because, hey, that's my dad. You know who I am. But with her actions, she's speaking volumes about her dad, amen? So everybody down there is thinking her dad, I mean, this is the daughter. What's the dad must be like? He must not be very good and very appealing. So when Paul is telling us to do everything in the name of Christ, what I want you to do is also think about in those same terms. Now, I'm certainly not condoning taking the Lord's name in vain in language, right? But I am saying that there's something to be said about the way we as Christians live our lives, and we sort of, a part of our life we reserve for God and for the church, and the rest of our life we say, well, we can do whatever we want. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whether you like it or not, whatever you do, you're as a Christian, you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You're saying something about who you believe in, whether you like it or not. Now, you may want to argue with that. You may want to say, I don't really believe you. I don't care. It's true, right? I'm not trying to be harsh about it. I'm just saying, as Christians, we got to be serious about, look, we're making a statement. When I became a pastor, I had some pastor friends, and very lovingly said, look, everything you do, everything you post, everything you say is going to be a statement. Like it or not, people know you're a pastor. Everything you say is going to be a statement about Christ. Well, that's true. It absolutely is true. I can tell you that. But it's not just true about pastors. It's true about everybody, all Christians. Now, maybe you'll say, well, I just don't, you will be outwardly about being a Christian. Well, then I would just warn you that, you know, Jesus warned if you denied him before manhill tonight before the Father, right? So at some point as a Christian, you got to say, look, either I'm going to go public and be a Christian, but I'm just saying that it means this fully committed lifestyle. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think Peter would also agree, and as Peter first Peter 2:12, you have to turn there. We're going to come right back, but as I indicated, just point it out real quick. Peter says this, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. So your actions and your lifestyle is so honorable that even though they may speak harshly of you, they'll at least say, you know what, he really believes what he says he believes. And they'll glorify God because of it. That doesn't mean they won't speak harshly of you. Maybe they will, and they probably will. But this is how we first, when we talk about this life of worship, and your whole life is a worship song, if you will. We've talked about that before. We know we worship in song. This is an incredible song this morning, but worship is not only song. Everything we do is worship to God. Our whole life, and that's what Paul is referring to here. So our whole life is a life of worship. And finally, he concludes this point by saying, giving thanks to God through God the Father through him. If your desire is to worship God, Paul says, then bring glory to the Son. If you want to have a life that brings that is a worship song to God, your Creator, if that's your desire to live a life that you worship God, then bring glory to the Son. Live a life that brings glory to Jesus. And that is how you worship God, says Paul. Well, secondly, not only do we have this, live this life of worship, but we also need to focus on the depth of that worship. The depth of that worship. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in these verses, but 18 through 22 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So as we move into, we looked at the life of worship, Paul moves out of there and talks about the depth of worship. Now here's an important what Paul is doing here. Because see, Paul started off talking about, that we're this new creation. He gave this example as what that means to be a new creation. And a lot of what Paul talked about in the first part of this chapter, we would as Christians kind of understand, like, yeah, you know, make peace with your brother, you know, don't have crude jokes, you know, these kind of things, keep immorality out of your life. And we would kind of, I think, easily categorize that into like our church life, right? My life as a Christian. But then before he moves on to the next chapter, as we mark them chapters, Paul moves out of the church category and moves us into our personal life. And he's showing us, like, look, when I say everything, I mean everything, and I'm actually, as an example, going to move outside of what you would categorize as church and move into these areas that maybe you don't really bring God into that. And he does that by bringing in the family. Now, an important way to understand this is not to focus so much on the relationships, because we can draw from Scripture, like, okay, well, he says this about these relationships, so that must be true. That you can do that, but you don't want to miss the actual point that the author is making. And the actual point the author is making here, Paul, he's talking about your attitude in these relationships. Amen? So you're focusing on your attitude, and that's his point. Because we can look here and see, not in the context of the relationships, but in the attitude in your heart. He had made the point, everything in the name, did you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? And then he moves on to these examples as things you'll do in honoring Christ. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. He talks about children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. You know, another bit of advice I got early on, almost immediately, just when I knew that God he called me a pastor, another pastor said, look, one of the first and most crucial areas of ministry you're going to find is in your family. Now, being in my mid-20s and you know, a bit naive and probably a lot arrogant, I was like, well, I don't know if Melissa's going to fly with me having that kind of authority, you know, over her in the home. It sounds kind of good. And he was, you know, that's lesson one. It's not about having authority. Amen? It's about a responsibility, and our relationships are there not to have authority over anybody. I mean, if you have a leader that feels that way over you, you probably need to find another church or really pray for that leader. But again, that's advice not just for those in leadership in a church. That's advice for everybody. And I'm telling you, one of the most valuable and helpful ministries in your life will be your family, because they know you better than anybody. I think one of the greatest compliments I could probably ever get is if my family knows, they know I'm not perfect because they know me, right? But if they know, like, hey, you know what? His heart is absolutely committed on God. He really believes what he says he believes. Not as he's perfect, but he loves us, he loves God, and he's really committed to Christ in all the way in the deepest part of his heart. So I think it's why it's so valuable that Paul brings up the family. He talks about these relationships. Now, it is important that you know, because, I mean, it's just, think about this. Did you notice that the examples he gave that Paul used, you know, so 2,000 years removed from when this was penned, is the area of such absolute spiritual warfare in our country, in our world, is the family? I mean, after who knows how many, if you look back in throughout history, you see these examples of where, like, husbands were harsh and not loving to their wives and absent from the household and not to their, I'm not saying like all husbands, but I mean, you know, that's been an issue. You have dads who aren't there and present for their children. And you have wives who do think it's offensive to think they should obey and submit to their husband. And all of this has been orchestrated. It's not sort of an accident that this happened. All this is done. There is an enemy. There is spiritual warfare. These things happen. It's not an accident. I'm telling you, the devil wants to tear down the family structure, and there's a reason for that. What Paul is saying, he's pointed to this, just to show you the importance that, you know, Paul has pointed to this, however, to say, look, even in these relationships, even the relationships you may think may not matter, you know, here's your church life and here's your personal life, Paul is saying, no, I want you to understand, when I say everything, I mean everything. There's no area of your life the devil is not going to try to tarnish with sin. There's no area of your life the devil is not going to try to tarnish with sin. He is going to try to infiltrate and destroy and pervert every area of your life. I guarantee it. Amen? If you think he's not, I'm telling you, you're fooling yourself. So it's important that we as Christians, when we say, I'm going to live this life of worship, we understand the depth of that worship means every single area of our lives. And it even involves our family. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul goes even into this relationship where the world would expect there to be some resentment and hostility. But where the world may expect and condone resentment and hostility, we're called to honor Christ. Paul moves even farther and says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. We know a bondservant, he's talking about slaves, right? See, he goes there, right? So, I mean, he's talking about, hey, look, in everything, I want you to honor Christ. In everything, I want you to honor Christ. And he talks about the family, then even talks about the slaves and how they react to their slave owners. Let me kind of pause here for a moment, because here's one thing where you talk about things in context and the things we relate to in context today. Now, slavery in 2020 is still a very real thing, but of course, in 2020, slavery is human slavery still, but it has to do with sexual slavery. Now, I'm not saying this morning when you're talking about, you know, honoring everything, your slave owners, we're not saying, so the scripture is very clear, like, if somebody's telling you to do something that God has said not to do, you don't listen to them, you listen to God, right? So in no way does the Bible or me or anybody else should condone a sex slave, right? It's perversion and it's from the devil. Paul is simply making a point, like, even in this relationship between bondservants or slaves and their masters, even in that relationship, he's making a point saying, look, even in the most difficult relationships in your life, glorify God by honoring Christ. That's the point he's making. He's not trying to condone or talk about anything. He's simply talking about in your relationships, even in the hardest relationships you have, even when it seems to be justified to have some resentment and hostility to someone, he's saying, no, you're called to something higher and something better. You need to glorify God. Even if the world says it's okay to think about yourself and show hostility, Paul says, no, it isn't. You're called to glorify God in every area, every situation, every struggle. That's Paul's point, and that's why he went here, if you will. How do you do that? I mean, that's good to say. We always, when you say something like that, especially when you take it to this level, I think it's important to say, okay, well, how do we do this? Because this is, I mean, that's kind of a tall order. I can think of some people that in my life that, man, I mean, I know the Bible tells me to show them honor, but whew, I got to have something more. Got to have some instruction. Well, thankfully, I think in the second half of this verse, Paul gives us his instruction on how we do this. How do we show that kind of that depth of worship, if you will, to God? First, he says, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers. In the military, we used to have this term you'd hear sometime called saying salute the chair. All right? How many of y'all in the military know what that means? Yep, okay. So here's what it means. So in the military, you know, because of your rank, you have to show honor to certain people. And I mean, some people, it's tough, right? So sometimes you salute the man, sometimes you just salute the chair. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta do it. I mean, they're just, okay, I'm going to salute your rank, so to speak. We're not called to salute the chair as Christians, all right? That's not what we do. In the world, in a military life, that's acceptable or whatever. In a world life, it's okay. Just kind of go through the motions. No, we're not called to do that. We're not called to salute the chair. We're called to have sincerity in heart. We're not called to simply say we love someone. We're not called to actually love them. Not just sort of actions, not for eye service. As people pleasers. People pleasers meaning not that you're making them happy. I mean, there's a side of it, but I think really what Paul is talking about is like you're pleasing those people about you. I want to look good. I'm going to look all churchy. So I'm going to act all churchy. Amen? Yeah, that's not what we do. That's called being a hypocrite. Now, you might fool a lot of people, but you're not going to fool God. And Paul says that's not what you do. We don't do things for eye service. Now, I think what's easy to the second point is that we do it with sincerity of heart. All right, we need to have this. That's how you avoid doing things for eye service, is you have this sincerity of heart. You basically just get real. I mean, be honest and be real about who you are and how you feel. And again, I think the other point that I just made is important. I mean, you don't say you love someone, you do love them. I mean, if you're a Christian and you say, well, look, I'm having a hard time showing this person love. Now, sometimes that might happen. I'm not saying, you know, there's a relationship thing or whatever. But you also need to ask yourself, is this because I don't really love them or because you're supposed to? You see what I'm saying? Like all people, you're supposed to love them, really love them. And this really kind of shows, I mean, so what this is calling you to do is to literally prayerfully ask God or ask yourself, what do you really think about God, honestly? And I mean, this is something you should absolutely do. Prayerfully ask yourself, what do I really think about God? Do I really love God as deeply with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I really love God like that? And what I'm telling you is that whatever your answer is will never be disconnected to how you feel about his people, his children. See what I'm saying? So when you answer yourself and you resolve in your heart what you think about God, I'm telling you that answer is not ever going to be disconnected to how you feel about his creation, his people, his children. Christ even says, and later on in Scripture, John says about that you're fooling yourself if you think I can love God and hate man. The Bible says you're a liar. It is impossible to hate your brothers or sisters and say you love God. That's impossible. And if you say that, the Bible calls you a liar. That's not my word. That's the Bible. It says you're a liar. So when you are on this pursuit to live this life of worship and this depth of worship, and you're thinking about how you think about the world and all these relationships and others, and you think about the love you have for them, I'm telling you, you do it with sincerity of heart, understanding that how you feel about them is tied to how you feel about the Lord. Well, thirdly, I think how we do this, how we live this life of worship to that depth, is that we do it by fearing the Lord. As Paul says here, fearing the Lord. Now, of course, fearing the Lord, we know that means that you're in awe. It's not be afraid of the Lord. It's like being in awe of the Lord. And you have this worship for Him, and you desire to please Him because of the awe you have for Him. But that's kind of a dangerous area too, because, you know, we if you have this awe for God, you should want to please Him. You have this all overwhelming desire to please Him. Now, that's kind of a reality check for some of us, because some of us, I mean, think about how some celebrities will influence you in the way you live and talk and act and look, right? I mean, we will allow celebrities or sports figures or whatever, what have you, to sort of change the way we think and act, but God, we treat like this internet troll. Like, why do you keep popping up telling me how to live my life? Right? I mean, we do that. Amen? So when you think about fearing the Lord, you have this awe. It's not like, oh, I have this awe and I want to worship and honor Him. Well, when Paul says, okay, that's good, but now that fear, that awe and that wonder you have for God is supposed to stretch out to every area of your life. So that means you don't allow things into your life that are not pleasing to Him. That's what is going to cause you to not please the Lord and be, do things that are disapproving of the Lord, because you want to honor Him. Not because you think He's going to reject you, because you love Him that much. And you don't want to displease Him. Again, it's not for a fear of rejection. It's not for a fear of, well, I think I'm going to lose my salvation. It's not that. It's because I love Him so much, I don't want to dishonor God. That's the kind of fear of the Lord He's talking about. Or at least part of it. Because there is a second half of fearing the Lord. And it reminds us that that God's wrath is just as real as God's love. God's wrath is just as real as God's love. Now, that's something that's becoming kind of not as popular to hear or say anymore. About God's wrath. We as Christians as a whole will even witness to people and share our faith with people in terms of like, hey, look, if you want joy and peace in your heart, you need Jesus. Now, that's true. He is the source of joy and peace. But look, in Scripture, what does it talk about? Jesus talks a whole lot about hell. So let's not fool ourselves and let's not kid ourselves and soften us down. We need Jesus Christ, and we need His gift of salvation so we don't spend eternity in hell. That's why we need to be saved. And if you think I'm just being too harsh, I'm just telling you, read Scripture. We do get joy and peace from God, absolutely. He is the source of peace and love, and we get that as His children. Maybe not in circumstances in our life. We're going to have good times and hard times in life. That's absolutely true. And some of us are going to have a really hard life in this life. But for all of us, the reason we need Christ is because without Him, we are going to hell. We cannot fool ourselves when it talks about fear the Lord. That is also involved and encapsulated in this message from Paul. Not only what we gain, but what we avoid. So Paul has talked to us about this life of worship. We've looked at this depth of that worship. I think also, thirdly, we look at this hope for the future. Paul tells us about this hope for the future. Verse 23. Excuse me. Verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." So again, Paul, in kind of this concluding way, he summarizes by repeating himself in a way of what you saw in verse 17, but he says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. So whatever you do. So he started off in verse 17 talking about, you know, everything that you do in word or deed. He gives these examples. He gets very personal in these examples. He talks about this relationship. You wouldn't expect him to be asking you to honor God. And then he summarizes by saying again, repeating himself, that whatever you do, man, if there's anything you underline in your Bible, I want you to underline that, whatever you do, there is no part of your life, and I'm repeating myself, I know, but Paul's repeating, there's no part of your life that is out of bounds. There's no time out in your life, right? So whatever you do, work heartily. Of course, heartily, we understand this is talking about from the heart. To do it with heart and do it for Christ. I'm just going to summarize this. You know, earlier in this sermon, I talked about, you know, we give this example of farming and, you know, these rows and everything. I want you to imagine for a moment, just thinking about that illustration as we kind of summarize what Paul's saying here for us. Imagine that that's you, all right? Imagine even before, you know, modern machinery. Here you are, you got the whole sling thing, got your, you know, back in Paul's day, be oxen, right? And there you are, and you got your plow. That's actually, you got your seed. The day is hot, right? You're tired, but your purpose is to get that seed in that ground. You all be in your Bible, you know where I'm going with this. Amen? That's your purpose. That's our purpose. We plant seeds for the kingdom. Amen? That's what we do. We honor God. We plant seeds. And just like in that field, you got this, you got your eyes set on where you're going. You got your eyes set on God, so to speak. You're going to see trials. It's going to be tough. The day is going to be long. Sometimes it'll go pretty well. Other times you're going to hit valleys. You're going to hit rocks. There's going to be predators. Who knows what you're going to face? But you keep going. And you know why you're there. You know what your purpose is. But you're not going to hit that destination unless you keep focused on where you're going. Amen? What I'm telling you is this is how Paul summarizes this chapter. We are called to glorify God. And we glorify God by glorifying His Son. You are here for a purpose. You're here to worship with your brothers and sisters, but we're also here to equip ourselves and prepare ourselves to go back out there and plant seeds for the kingdom. If you came here this morning simply for yourself, so I can have a better day and I can feel good about, you know, my life, or my life's out of order, and I kind of want to get things, I want to get back in church and just kind of get right with God. All of those things are okay, but that's not the purpose of your life. Amen. You'll get those things in your relationship with God. God will give you direction and purpose, and He'll give you meaning. You'll find peace where you think you can't find peace, and you'll find joy where you think you'll never have joy. God will give you those things, and God is a place to find those things. But I'm saying you're not on this life, you're not in this world, in this life, at this place. That is not your purpose. Your purpose is like mine, and that is to share the gospel with those who right now are going to hell. If somebody doesn't tell them the truth, that's our purpose. We have this very missional purpose, therefore we should have this very missional mind. So when we look at these things about glorifying God, we understand, like, my purpose in life and your purpose in life is so important and so valuable, there is no area of your life it should not consume. It should consume everything in your life because it's that important. Important for you and important for those who God wants to send you to. So that is my prayer for you this morning. As we finish this chapter and we keep moving on, my prayer for you this morning is that you prayerfully reflect, how do you really feel about God? And you really think about, honestly, I hope you don't take this in a way like, hey, don't come back next week. I hope you come back next week or somewhere, you know. But I want you to honestly answer that question for you. Why are you here this morning? Why did you get up and go to church today? Because if it's just simply because I want to feel better because I'm around Christians, I'm telling you that's not enough and you've been called to more. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the purpose that you do give us in life. Father, I pray that we will, all of us will be mindful of who we are and the life that we live. Lord, if there are those here who have not, they struggled to commit every area of their life to you, I pray that you will give them your spirit and empower them. I pray that you'll surround them with brothers and sisters that love them and care for them and see the spirit inside of them and encourage them, Father, to just to fully commit themselves. But most of all, Father, I pray that this morning they will step out and step into this relationship with you fully committed. Lord, if there's anyone who's hearing your words this morning that have not ever begun this relationship with you, they have never committed their life to you at all, and they know they haven't, but you've been speaking to them, Father, and they know that something's missing, I pray that they will understand that thing that is missing is you. I pray that they will fully give themselves to you, that will commit their lives to you and accept this wonderful gift of salvation that is only available through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?